Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood, and welcome back to another episode of the dopest podcast out there covering dad life, the Fatherhood is Lit podcast. We are up to episode 59 of the podcast, and as you know, we would have never got here without your support. If you haven't done so already, take a second to give us a 5-star rating, comment on the podcast, and if you have done all of that already, share the podcast right now. Share it on any platform you like Instagram or Twitter. Tag us, and we'll make sure to return the love. Also, we have been giving away stickers to those that drop a rating for us. So take a screenshot of your comment, send it to me, and I'll hook you up. As for merchandise, I don't really push things like that. If you have been rocking with us since the start, you know I love and get paid by hosting events for us dads to enjoy with our kids. People have been asking for merch, so I partnered with a small shop here in New York City called Stereotype Co. to create some for the community. If you don't get it from them or me, then it's not official. If you want to support the crew with a purchase of a t-shirt or a hat, head over to stereotypeco.com/fatherhoodislit or hit the link in our IG profile. The link will also be in the show notes. Summer is coming to an end, and the school year is here. This school year has been one for the books. Recently, the New York Times asked me how to effectively communicate with teachers as a parent or as a father. I dropped some gems on their website. You could go check that out at newyorktimes.com. We have been remote in my household since March, and we'll probably stay remote until I feel a little safer. Having the kids at home learning is no joke, and I myself felt it big time this year, even though my wife is a teacher. Wifey has been a teacher for over 18 years, and I was foolish, damn near selfish, to think she could teach her whole entire class and devote her day to teaching our own kids. Teachers don't have it easy, and it proved that education doesn't start at school. It starts at home. Wifey was busy, and Dad had to step it up. For many of us, Dad had to handle the remote learning without really being prepared for all the work that it takes. For me, the difficulty laid in clarifying the expectations for the year, communicating effectively with the teachers, and having a feeling like I wasn't doing enough for my kids' education. So I took a step back and started to think about what I did right this year and what I did wrong. And then I asked my wife, who has dealt with the other side of remote learning, for some insights. I hope this episode helps you get through the new COVID school year. First up, feeling lost. From March till the end of June, I was winging it. Better yet, I was kind of lost when it came to educating my kids. My oldest was easy. He loved learning online and independently, so we gave him free rein to do his thing. He's mature enough and killed it. My 7-year-old is a different beast. He had issues early on with his speech, which delayed his reading a bit. We have worked hard with his speech therapist, school, and even Kumon to help him catch up and now outperform. I was worried about him the most because I was afraid he wouldn't get the services he needed and also felt like he would get way too distracted while being remote. He loved it, but I didn't. I wasn't sure if I could be a substitute or even main source of education for him. I didn't want him messing up because I couldn't handle it. I had to learn to take a step back and appreciate that feeling of being lost. I know it's weird, but that's how I work. I had to fully appreciate the challenge ahead before I could perform and feel good while doing so. You might feel lost just like me, and we're going to work through that as the episode continues. But remember, if you're in a position to help your child develop and grow, shit, you are one blessed mofo. Now you get to really make an impact in a way you may have thought you couldn't. Kids are amazing, and so are we. It's okay to feel lost, especially if you care. If you feel lost, it might just mean that you actually care. What child isn't lucky to have a dad that cares that much, that they even feel a little fear? It's normal. Don't let that fear stop you. Instead, fight that bitch and kill it. Next up is communicating with your teachers. One of the hardest things for me to do during this school year was communicating with my child's teachers. I'm the type of dad that likes to ask questions, lots of questions, and I like to ask them live and direct to really feel the dialogue. With COVID and remote learning, that took a back seat and it kind of sucked. As a technology entrepreneur, Emails and direct messages really help me communicate effectively. But how would it work with a teacher? My suggestion to you? Ask them how they prefer to be communicated with. Everyone communicates differently, so you have to find out what makes them the most comfortable. Is it emails, phone calls, messages on the work, or even forums? Straight up, ask your teachers what works best for them. I had a teacher that loved my son so much that she said to email her personal account or to call her directly if we got stuck. That's not the norm, but you never know. It might just happen to you. Once they tell you how they prefer to be communicated with, think about how you could effectively communicate with them. When brands reach out to me or even other dads via email, they write me an essay. I love and respect the effort, but an essay? Imagine getting 30 essays sent to you a day. Would you read them all? Would you give them the attention that they probably seek? I know I wouldn't be able to keep up, so don't expect teachers to keep up either. Instead, be very precise with your messaging. If your child is having trouble adding details to their writing, write that. Don't give them your background story and then throw in that your child smacked his little brother while you cooked and now you have a mess everywhere. That fluff people include in emails or comments is a waste of space. Be deliberate about what you are asking and stay on topic. Don't bombard them with 10 different topics in an email or message. Give them one or two things to think about in as few sentences as possible. That way they can actually think about your question, answer it to the best of their knowledge, and then they can help the next person. If their response isn't enough, don't hesitate to let them know. If you keep the messages or emails to one topic or instance, you will get better results. Remember, teachers are human. They have a ton of work to do, but they do want what's best for your child. So give them a chance. Communicate with them as much as possible, but don't kill them with all of that extra nonsense or a list of 100 questions you need answered. Think of what gets a response out of you and apply that to them until you figure out that sweet spot. It might take a while to find that sweet spot when it comes to communication, but don't let that stop you. Next up is setting clear expectations. One of the best things you can do for your child and yourself is to set clear expectations early and often. It's very easy to say that the goal is to get my child to the next grade, but what really gets you there is setting their weekly expectations. You can't know those expectations unless they give them to you, or you ask for them. Ask if you must. I like to clearly define what we are learning for the week. If we are learning subtractions by regrouping, I want to know that. And to be honest, I want the answer key, and I want the rubric they use to measure their work. I want to know how you gauge the effectiveness of my child's learning. Yes, I know I'm not a teacher, but if I'm helping them at home, I want the tools. I don't want to spend 2 days trying to figure out a common core problem when I could spend time reinforcing the lesson the teacher is asking. It goes back to feeling a little lost. I don't want to feel lost, and I want to be able to do my best to help my kid. Ask for the tools needed. I bet you your teacher will gladly give them to you or point you in the right direction. It helps your child, but it also frees them up a little, knowing that a parent like you is putting in work. By knowing what's expected of your child, you can really be an asset to his or her learning. They say learning starts at home. Set up clear expectations with your child's school often and get to work. This whole COVID crap sucks, but it has provided us opportunities like no other. Unless you homeschool your child already, this remote stuff might have you worried. Heck, it had me worried, and y'all know how I roll. I'll do anything for my kids. The whole not being a teacher vibe hit me hard, just like it might have hit you. I would ask myself every day, how could I replace my kid's teacher? I'm not built for that. And you know what? I can't. What I can do, though, is become an asset to the teacher and my kids. We can learn what the expectations are early and often to help them. We can treat teachers like humans and work with them on communicating better. And most importantly, because we care, we will get through this COVID school year because real dads like us, well, we never fold. And that's a fact. Go make your presence felt. We matter more than ever, fellas. And become that teacher we never thought we could be. Fatherhood is lit.